Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada. Here is Peter Royce.
Children grow up in a sea of media. Music videos, TV, commercial radio, the internet, all compete for the attention of young eyes and ears. Media literacy courses are one way to give youth the tools to interpret their world, yet such courses are far from standard fare in many school curriculums. The programs that do exist are often funded in part by the media corporations whose product they try to deconstruct. The Children's Media Project in Poughkeepsie, New York, is an independent media education organization. It was set up to meet the need for a more radical critique of media and to give youth the tools to make their own media. Maria Moreski is the founding member and executive director of Children's Media Project, and she's joined me on the line this morning from New York State. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
So could you start by telling me a little bit about the area you're located in?
Sure. We are about 70 miles north of New York City, and we're in the Hudson Valley, and Poughkeepsie is right on the Hudson River.
And are there media education courses in your local schools?
Media education is not integrated into the curriculum in New York State. So one of the things that we do is work with teachers and in communities with different organizations to do some media literacy workshops. But it is not instituted, unfortunately, in the curriculum here.
So why do you think it's important to get young people thinking about the kind of media they see and hear?
Well, I think probably the most important point you already mentioned, and that is this generation of young people, they really live in a sea of images. And it's important for them to understand that the media that is created is created by people who have a specific agenda and a specific point of view, that it's really important to critically look at what they're taking in. And I wanted to use the word perceiving, but sometimes it's not even, they don't have that critical awareness to understand that it's not reality. It's manipulated reality.
And is it a necessary part of democracy in some way or shape or form?
Absolutely. If democracy is based on the freedom of information, and we believe that we have a free press here in America, and the truth is we may not get all the news that other people get in other areas. Of course, we get it with a different perspective and a particular slant. So that's one thing that we'd like to bring the kids into awareness. And also the idea that you can look at an image, and that image can speak to you about what might be the different possible ways you could interpret that visual image.
So what special relevance does media education have for kids in the inner city?
Well, kids in the inner city, at-risk youth in particular, watch more hours of television than other children. That might be because they're on their own more often and the television is, their companion at home. It's also important because the sphere of influence for these kids or the sphere of what they're exposed to is a lot smaller than it is for other kids. So the images that they see of other worlds and other cultures and, within our culture here, can be incredibly misleading, and they have less of a chance to know that if they're not able to actually travel to those places and in those circles.
So now a couple of the education workshops you've offered are titled The Sexualization of Women in the Media, Arabs in the Media. Is there a common thread in the topics you choose to do education around?
Well, I think the thread is, which stereotypes are we promoting about specific groups? And those are two groups that, of course, we've become, women, of course, are very objectified by media, and young girls in particular. We have a workshop that we do, Video Diary for Girls, in which girls address the issue of how does the image that's portrayed of them and what's the image held out to them as the ideal form of what it is to be a female. How does that relate to people you really know? How does that relate to your internal self? Is that accurate? And I think that question can be extended to any particular group that is perhaps being misrepresented or represented in terms of stereotypes. And, of course, that's very true right now for people of Arab descent because of, you know, what's happening in the country right now. And so it's important to say that to point out our commonalities more than our differences.
In addition to media education, you also offer workshops in media production. What kinds of workshops can kids take?
Well, we offer a whole variety of workshops for young people. We offer live-action drama, documentary filmmaking, experimental filmmaking, which is a lot of fun, and animation and claymation, and also working with sound on... You know, now you can do a lot of things that incorporates all those things. So we're encouraging young people to work with the media in a way that doesn't necessarily imitate the mass media, what they see. So we expose them to a lot of other work made by artists who are treating it differently, more inventively. And we think this next generation will be the ones to really take the media arts to the next level, because the tools now are becoming more and more accessible and more powerful.
Can you give me a sense? I'm trying to get a picture of how these tools are being used, like what sort of tools you're offering and how they are being used by the young people that are taking these workshops. Can you give me more of a sense?
When I first started out, for example, we were using film. Now you can use video cameras that have incredible image quality, and which means that you get a lot of control over the elements and you can make it look really great. And then the other piece that's really important is the post-production editing possibilities. Computers now, we use Final Cut Pro on our computers, and it's amazing how facile a tool it is for editing, for doing special effects, for doing animation, for making sound, for mixing sound. And these are tools, when I first started out, which was, 15 years ago in film, were highly inaccessible and highly expensive. So them now sort of at their fingertips.
What happens to the young people when they start creating their own media?
Well, I think it's a very, very empowering experience for them. One thing that it does is it creates that critical eye towards media. They begin to understand the levels of manipulation that go into creating a piece of work. And one of the things that I think is very important about it also is that it really frees them creatively to come into their own expression, to develop their own voice, which is really important because the language of media, that's image, words, and sounds together, is really and rapidly becoming the dominant language of Western culture. And to be able to give young people the tools with which to write in that new language, I think it's very, very powerful.
You mentioned that they can do that with their own voice, and that raises the whole issue of control. And how do you ensure that they remain in full creative control of the whole video project?
Well, there are two pieces to that, really. The first is that we consider ourselves facilitators and mentors, and we give them feedback the way you would in any art class, you know, critique and always looking to develop further, but always letting them do the filming, do the editing, making the decisions. And the other piece is we are working on at least in our neck of the woods, in terms of distributing and giving, I want to say promoting, but just giving access, and we're doing it through local television, to have the kids have their work seen, which is, that's always the other piece, is the distribution.
So you're working right now on a 13-week series that's coming out in the new year, and it's called Drop TV. I understand the kids chose that name themselves. What does it mean?
Well, It has various meanings, and, you know, one is just the playfulness of saying, you know, be critical towards television, drop it, but certainly watch our show. Also, the creative term used probably more often in music, where you drop a line, you drop a track, you drop a song. And also, the kids want the drop to stand for Direct Revolution of Programming, which is our nod to say that we understand that media is a tool which programs us, and we want to start using it as a tool to reprogram ourselves and start having our voices heard in a larger arena.
How large is the arena you're looking at here?
Well, we are right now looking in a regional a geography, and our first run through will have this show over 3.8 million households in our area here. So it'll go down to Brooklyn and up almost towards Albany.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, thanks very much for talking with me about this morning.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Maria Moreski, founding member and executive director of Children's Media Project. You can check out some of their recent video productions at childrensmediaproject.org.
Red Eye is 3 hours of alternative politics and culture, broadcast live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM in Vancouver, Canada.